welcome to the Seattle Superhawks Coaches Show with your hosts, me, Cameron Collins.
And me, Anthony Hopkins.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a beautiful gray afternoon in Seattle. It's been a while since we've had one of these, huh? It's been a real hot scorcher of a week.
The last 4 days, I think, was pretty nice, pretty sunny. And then if people were lucky, that caught that solar eclipse.
Yeah, I did not.
Not the eclipse, but the northern lights.
I live too far south. I could not see them. But especially on the, was it Friday night? I think a lot of people got to see
Friday night. Yeah. They, at least where I was at, you couldn't see it with the naked eye. I was down at South Lake Union and had to put your phone into night mode. Oh, what's up? Uh-oh.
Who's in here?
That's a good question. I don't know who's in there yet because I'm still waiting for it to show up on Instagram, but
what's up? Shout
out to everyone who are listening. You, of course, are listening to Seattle Superhawks Coaches Show. Just because the coaches now move from Mondays to, we just recorded one on Friday with Coach Daniel. So
right. We
will have that up soon. Shout out to people joining, Ricky, 4D Money, Marty Marr. If you want to join us and actually see us in the studio, you can do that at S Superhawks on Instagram. I got my St. Pauli shirt on, which is a German team, the soccer team that just made it to the first division for the first time since like 2010.
Mm.
So it's pretty exciting. That's like 14 years, man.
I'm rocking the Superhawks. It's 2 years, but you know, still strong.
That's right. Ricky JT immediately has a question for us about an expansion team. Can you expand on that for us?
Yeah, let us know.
And we'll get back to you on that. We had a pretty big weekend here as the Superhawks played two games away and on Thursday, of course, played at home. And it was a loss and two wins.
Yeah. I think the two wins is definitely what we needed. That loss definitely, though, didn't keep us down the whole time. I think it just made us more thirsty to win.
Yeah, 1-point loss, of course, to Brock Finstoon and the Great Falls Electric.
Yep.
For whatever reason, they have our number because they went on to lose to Wenatchee the next
following
day.
And
they have two more games against Wenatchee, so it's going to be a really interesting playoff race here because it's down to, I believe, a 4-team race for 3 positions.
Right. And we love you, Brock. You know, we always talk good stuff about you, but, you know, we were kind of upset. That 1-point loss, Cameron and I both did recognize that anytime they took you out of the court or off the court, you know, we were catching up.
Well, here, I'll have this to say about that.
Oh, okay.
I told their coach that, and the next game, he got 36 minutes and something like 30 points.
Yeah.
See? And so they clearly listened to me.
But now you need to change it again so they don't listen to you when we play.
Well,
you know, you got to be like, Brock is messing up. He gets nervous around us.
Yeah, I was just trying to get us a trade for Brock. That's all.
I know.
But now the trade deadline, I believe, is it's either today or 3 days from now. I'm not sure which. So we're running out of time.
Superhawks, loving the comments.
Yeah, but what's up, Corbin? So we, with that loss, we'll talk about the wins, but I want to just start right off with the playoff scenarios. Are you good with that?
Yeah, but we should tell people first, you can watch us live on S Superhawks on IG.
Yep.
We're up here, send in your questions. We answer them. A lot of people hopping in today.
Yeah, so definitely hop in and let us know any questions you have, and we'll get to those throughout the course of the show. If you're listening live on the radio on 102.1 FM or around the world at KXSU.org. KSCU is the radio station I was on from 1999 to 2004. So my brain just went back 20 years ago. I don't know how that happened.
I mean, that's a sign of a good brain, you know, got the memory.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I wanted to tell you a story before I got to...
Before we got into the juicy stuff.
Before we got into the playoff scenarios.
Right.
But this weekend, you know, it was very hot.
Mm-hmm.
I went with my mom and my dad and a friend to the Mariners game on Mother's Day.
Oh, nice.
I had driven halfway to the stadium, walked, then walked back, and I ended up getting my 10,000 steps in before I even got back to my house. And then I was driving home. It was nice out. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go shoot hoops.
Yeah.
And I went, grabbed my ball. I walked down. I was just shooting by myself and, you know, a little bit of jogging, but not much. And then this little, like, eighth grader was like, hey, you want to 1v1 me? And I was like, all right, you'll probably kick my butt, but I'm down to try. Now, I have not shot a basketball other than two random shots this year.
In the court. I saw you with that.
I had one that barely missed since I injured my shoulder a couple years before COVID. Yeah. So I have not shot in forever. Oh, yeah, we'll get to that for sure on the expansion team. But so I played, and after 10 minutes, I needed a timeout as I was down 5-1, and whoo boy, I was out of breath. I ended up playing another.
Were you guys playing by twos or ones?
By one. We're going to go to 21, but no, by one, ones and twos.
Okay.
And then we were going to go to, then I played another kid and I lost 5-1. So,
okay. Yeah.
Two local kids beat my butt.
Yeah. They probably felt good.
Yeah. I was like, you're young. You have energy. I'm old.
Yeah. Next time, bring me around and I'll sub in for you.
You ever see that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're like going and blocking shots from
the people that clearly have the disadvantage?
Like, yeah. So it was good. It was good. The Superhawks, though.
Superhawks. Yes.
And we'll get to Ricky's question here because I think that's an important question and one that we will be talking more about as we have Brian Robinson from Save Our Sonics on an upcoming episode of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite yet, but he'll be coming soon. But there are four teams for three playoff spots: Vancouver, Seattle, Great Falls, and Salem.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that have a shot. I think at 0-18, Emerald City has been eliminated.
I think they're done. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to make it back from that one. But
might be tough, yeah.
Currently, if the Superhawks win out, win their final four games, and beat Vancouver by 9 or more points in the final game, we get first place.
First place. Yeah.
So it's in our own hands, but we have to beat Wenatchee, Salem, Eugene, and Vancouver. And that Vancouver game, we have to win by 9 or more points because right now they have scored 8 more points than us in our common games with each other. And you have to have the highest point total. Average, that's right. the third tiebreaker.
Is it point total or average?
It's point total in games against each other.
Okay.
Right now they've scored 8 more points than us. So we would have to score 9. So it's in, even with the loss on Thursday, it's in our own hands. And so we will be able to get there for sure if we win out and then win by 9 against Vancouver. If Salem beats Vancouver, though, because they're the two games against Emerald City, so I don't think Vancouver's going to lose those two.
Right.
If Salem beats Vancouver, all we have to do is win out and then we get the number one seed without going to tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
If we lost to Salem, then potentially we would go back to that tiebreaker needed.
We just beat Salem, though.
Yeah, we beat them by like 20.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about Salem. Our last game, not our last game. Our loss by 1 point was, I think, there's a variety of reasons why it happened.
Yep.
I don't think that's going to happen a second time. I think we're going to be above, especially when we go back and analyze all the mistakes that were done on there. I think we got it. You guys let me know. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know.
Now, here's the important thing to know for sure is that of the four games we have left, one is now changed. So we have home this Thursday.
Oh, that got switched.
Yeah. So this Thursday is home versus Wenatchee.
Right.
Saturday is home versus Salem, which is Nate McMillan night.
Yeah.
You're going to get
big
to meet
night.
Your old fling will be in town.
Yeah. I hope not. I mean, in a non-disrespectful way. Yeah.
And then the game at Eugene has been moved to Seattle. So next Friday, we will play here a week from this Friday.
Right. And I think we were only supposed to have two home games
left. It was two home, two away.
But now it's three?
Yeah, four. We have 3-1. We flipped that game. So we will have another home game, Superhawks fans. So if you're out there and you're looking at the schedule, get ready because we're going to need you in that stadium. And it'll
be the last big three games.
It'll be a fun game, too, because that third game is against Emerald City, who we've now... We beat by 74. Was that the first?
Yeah, it was like 169 to I think 94.
Yeah,
94.
And then we beat, and then we just beat them by 40 in a game where we really struggled.
Yeah.
So that's the amazing part is winning by 40 is a let. We were down, I think, I had to tune in late because of work, some other work stuff. But
of course,
I think we were down 17-2 or something at one point, or 12-7 or no, we only had two. It was like 17-2.
17. Oh yeah. My god!
So we were down early in that game.
I would go back to work.
the starters all got pulled.
Really?
Oh yeah, we were. After
what, they like wax the court or something, like what was going on?
I mean, who knows? But you know, our backups went in there and started lighting it up.
Ah, well, good.
So before we get more into the Superhawks, we did have a question come in from Ricky.
Let's read a few of them because I see a few.
Oh, is there more? Yeah, okay, Ricky had the first one, so let's start there.
For sure.
So, what's the future of the NBA in Seattle? How do we get a new team in Seattle? Rumors of Vegas and Seattle. Being the expansion teams. And yes, that is the rumor currently. And I think, unlike all the past times, this is a time where Seattle is not the boogeyman. They're not using us to take other teams and try and make them think they can have it, like have to pay extra and build an arena. This is real. Because the one thing we've been waiting for expansion to happen is the new TV deal in the NBA. And that's finally happening. And the Vegas team would be owned by the people who built the arena here in Seattle. And then the Seattle team supposedly is going to be owned by the Kraken.
Yeah.
There'll be a parent company that owns both teams.
Right, right.
So this is real. I think, I mean, the one thing that we were always missing was the venue.
Yeah.
And now we have the venue.
Definitely not the money, because the money is there.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to... Seattle has so many pro teams now that it's
hard. About time, though.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, I'll never forget where I was when KJR announced that the team had sold to Clay Bennett, because I knew at that point that it was over. I remember my ex-fiance was like, "Oh my god, what's going on?" Because I like sat on my bed and just started crying.
It was a happy emotional moment.
No. When the team they announced that they were sold and we were leaving, I was devastated because I knew they were gone.
Sorry.
As soon as they sold, I knew they were gone.
Unhappy emotional moment.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I was pissed. I remember I had the one actually ended up getting signed by Xavier McDaniel at our last big home game. It was awesome. I had that shirt on that I caught. And I ended up taking it off and chucking it at the wall. I thought it was like all a joke or a big scheme thing. It was it seemed like fake news. I could never see us losing our team. And then I was like, wow, no more games. And it also sucked because tickets, the last game I went to was only $45.
Oh, I had a 25 game plan the final year.
Yeah.
And it was I think $350 for one ticket or $500 for two tickets. And so we paid, wait, is that right? No, $250 for two tickets. So we paid $10 a ticket, so $20 a game for 25 games, whatever that maths out to.
$25 or 25 games, $10, $250. Yeah.
Yeah, that's per person. So yeah, so 500 total.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah. And we were sitting at the top, but I saw AI.
You didn't have to sit at the top once you got there. There's always other seats.
Sometimes. Near the end, the upper deck was always full. It was the lower deck where the rich people sat that was empty. They should have let us all move down at halftime. That's what they should have done.
I figured they kind of would almost in general because they would want to. That's where the cameras are pointing, you know. Cameras aren't really always
pointing. You got to remember the owner was trying to move the team and wanted it to look bad on purpose.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of times it did look bad.
Yeah, like
and
the time
it wasn't on purpose.
The Nuggets and AI beat us by 60.
Yeah.
I mean, we looked like Emerald City out there.
Yeah. It was not a good moment.
So we do have a question in from Key Baby who asked if we have a new coach. And yeah, I think Daniel Sandrin is now 5-1 as head coach, if I remember correctly. Let's see, he was four. He had had four games, so he's 3-1. So now he's 5-1.
Yeah,
when we had him on the show on Friday,
yep.
He said he had coached four because he missed the first of that win streak that we had going.
Exactly.
But we've won 7 of 8 down the stretch here. We've been pretty hot and. We've done it in weird fashions. There was a lot of disarray on the bench in Eugene for that Emerald City game.
Lots of drama.
A player who's no longer with us was very upset with playing time, arguing with the coach, and quit in that moment and was convinced to go back on, but has now been released. So Roman Wilson is no longer with the team.
He was going off, though, especially when we needed him to. Those 22 rebounds. I mean,
yeah, I think it was a combination of a lack of consistency when he was put out there.
Right.
And then because he wasn't performing immediately, we had two other centers now. Right. And so he was in a bad situation for him at that point. And he recognized that and was ready to go.
I think he felt intimidated too when we got our new boy on there. On the team too.
Oh, for sure.
He's 7'1", 7'2", I think, and then absolute broad built person.
That's of course Robert Upshaw, who went to University of Washington.
Yep.
Drafted by, I believe, the Lakers, and has played all over professionally overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
the first point of that game, he literally had the ball, backed it up. There's a guy trying to play defense on him. Keyword tried. And then just probably like four or five dribbles, turns around, just dunks over him.
Same thing in Eugene.
Yeah. And then after you see that happen at the start of the game, I think that sends off a pretty good feeling for us and a worried feeling for the opponents. So absolutely, that was awesome to see.
Yeah, and I know he really enjoyed working with Roman and was excited to work more with him.
Right.
But I get it. It's hard to feel like you got demoted when you were never even given a chance.
Yeah.
It's just how things have worked out, right? There's not time to keep developing right now. We're in the playoff stretch. Because it makes a huge difference what place you get. If you get number one seed, you get a first round bye. And right. Then it's a one-game playoff where the number two team hosts the number three team.
Right.
So if we can get that one seed, that means we get to sit at home for a game and watch Vancouver host either Great Falls or Salem.
Right, right.
And then, but if we get that two seed, we're going to have to host Great Falls or Salem. And we saw what just happened when Great Falls was here. In fact,
As
I think I mentioned this on the show on Friday, as the coach left, their coach said to me, "We own this court. This is our home court."
No, no.
Can you believe that, Seattle fans?
And we got to tell him right now that he's completely wrong. I think, you know. Oh yeah,
Roman did get released.
Yeah, Roman did get released, unfortunately. But to that guy's point, if that's what he has to say for him to feel good about himself, I feel bad for him.
I mean,
I'm not saying
he's not wrong though. We've lost to them twice at home. We've lost to them 3 out of 4 games.
Well, hey, if he wants to pay for it, you might as well put down for every game. We'll say, yeah, it's yours. Here's the bill. I think he'll happily give it to you that way.
So, but it could be very interesting. So, if we end up in that two seed,
but that last game though, I mean, 1 point. Like, really, I mean, okay, yeah, count it as a win, but you can count that as a lucky win. Again, we messed up in so many ways. They didn't necessarily mess up as much as we did, or if they did mess up, it wasn't the same way we did.
We had lots of chances to win that game.
Yeah, lots of chances.
Not right at the end, in the couple minutes leading up to the final minute, they missed 4 shots, and we did not respond with a single point.
Yeah.
Down the stretch, Nas missed 8 free throws, and Nas knows this. This isn't a criticism of him. That's just what happened.
It's, yeah. Stats.
He just was off that day, and he knew it. You could see it. He was upset with himself.
Mm-hmm.
We had
3 turnovers too at the last 5-6 minutes or something, just from simple passes.
And as Coach Daniel pointed out, at the end. That's right. Vancouver does have Emerald City twice, and then Salem, and then Vancouver.
Right.
I mean, then us. Sorry.
Us.
And yeah. But right at the end, if that, as Coach Daniel pointed out, if that play had just gone a little bit differently, if that pass in to Robert had been a little different, maybe he dunks it at the end, and we win that game.
Right. I mean, where to start though? Could have been so many opportunities, even from basic free throws and stuff that we had.
Yeah.
So I mean, again, I think that put so much fuel and rage in the team in a positive way.
Yeah,
but we're not going to lose, especially by one again. And if the coach wants to say, "Hey, oh yeah, this is my court," we'll happily remind
him. Hey, I made sure our coach and GM knew so that we could make that bulletin board material if we do come back against them, because Vancouver has been so solid that while we control our own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the 3 tiebreakers of winning percentage, if we win out and Vancouver only loses to us, we will have the same winning percentage.
Right.
Then it goes to head to head, and we'll be 2-2 at that point, because right now they lead the series 2-1, and then it goes to total points, which, like I said, they're leading by 8 points.
Right.
Total points against each other. So That means we have to score 9 more points than them, and then we can get that number one seed. There's work to do before then. Got to win. Sure. Got to win against Salem, who's been proving tough.
Right.
Got to win against Wenatchee, who, while we keep winning, those are some close games. We have to pull away at the end.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you're 100% right. Coming up with all these winnings, though, the one thing I realize about this league is that everyone, and I think it's a pretty big factor, a lot of people don't find the perfect team until they're almost halfway through.
Yeah, that's true.
So in the beginning,
I mean, we see that with 20-point win in Salem yesterday.
Right.
That we lost to them by over 20 in the first game, for our first away game of the season down there.
Right. I think if we had, and last year's team was so different and stuff, you know, we've talked about that a lot, so I won't hop into it. But, like, if we're able to find not just necessarily the people that we need, but the blend, like the people that are able to blend together. Like if we had Roman, for example, you know, we released him. But if he got to play earlier in the season, I think he really already would have known what to do with the team. And then, you know, would have worked even better with our new guys that have been coming on to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we're able to do that next year, or even like, I mean, this year I'm happy with where we're at, and it keeps it really anticipating. So,
and I will say, in the basketball community, we're making an impact because we have players who have said, you know, I can't play this year, but I'm ready for next year. We're right. better than some of our starters already. Right.
And these aren't just nobodies either.
Yeah. Like, so we've got some exciting stuff coming, but that's near the here, there, and there, because we still have work to do this season.
I know. Yeah. No. Yeah.
And
totally.
And I don't know, because it was Mother's Day. I don't know if you had a chance to check it out. I was watching the game on my phone at the Mariners game. Nas did not play at Salem.
I didn't check it out. My mom was actually yelling at me to get off my phone. But,
thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day, but doing my job. No. I was trying to look at the stats a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
I couldn't see necessarily everyone's, or just like the stats of the game, not the minutes and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think you told me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if you had told me, can you go down and win on the road at Salem without Nas? I would have said no.
Right. But that happened.
Yeah, and we won by
40? No,
no,
20.
20, yeah.
20.
So that, I mean, that's a big thing for us, because then we can see that our player, and I think it's big for all of our players to realize that they don't need Nas to win. At the same time, if you want to make it through a brutal playoff schedule, you have to have, I don't know if he's still the highest scorer in the league. He might be like second still, because there's a few games where he didn't get above the number needed, but with a game against Eugene still left, maybe he can get that.
Get it? Yeah, I mean, another one with Emerald City too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I just can't call them Emerald City, because we all know that Seattle's.
I'm giving you rage bait right now.
Yeah. I still wanted to make if they had actually been okay this season, we would have done this, but because they weren't. It just doesn't seem fair. I wanted to make that sign to put up in our arena that said "Welcome to the real Emerald City."
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know,
but it's hard to pick on a team that's 0-50 or whatever.
Yeah.
0-18.
Yeah. No. We will not do that to them. But next year, hey, you know, like I was saying, there's always a better chance.
As I'm sure Vancouver and Curtis can attest to, is once you've been existing as a team, as people start knowing who you are, You can attract better and better players to come play for you.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. And there's always good connections between players too. They're playing for another team. They may be able to have some good word of mouth and get their partner to come down and really add a lot. I think right now, though, just going back to what we were saying, you know, season could have started off different, blah, 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 blah. We're here now. I think we're going to win every game until the end. I know it's a bold statement. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Playoffs too? All the way through?
I mean, the playoffs might get a little tricky here or there, but like, our guys want it.
Yeah.
Not saying everyone else on the team doesn't want it, but our guys want it, and our guys are also like worried about, I think, having the same thing happen to them as to what happened to Roman, you know? Like, losing or not getting their time, like, But there's a lot of guys on our team that know how to handle that.
Yeah.
That train of thinking and use that as fuel. But it's interesting. Fuel.
Roman was third in the league on average blocks with 2.1.
Yeah.
And so having Robert, I think, will waylay some of those concerns that I might have because he just eats up people in the post.
Right.
But, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think if there had been a way to keep him on the team, it would have been ideal. But, you know, the thing is, it's a business. It's not
right.
It's not friends. So you kind of have to figure it out. Will he
be able to play in the playoffs now? Like if he gets to another team?
I don't know.
There
wouldn't
because be. He has to play consistently.
He has to play four games. So there
four
wouldn't,
games for, yeah.
And so.
I think that's probably another reason why he's heated.
For sure. But yeah. Nas is currently second in the league with 29.5 points per game behind McMurray from the Wichita Sky Kings, who has 33.3. So Nas. Has about fallen off by about 4 points, so he's got to really put some huge numbers up down the stretch here to be able to pass Jamal McMurray for
you got hit with that news. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so for those of you who are listening on the radio here on KXSU LB Seattle 102.1 FM and around the world at kxsu.org, those that were watching on Instagram just had somehow. Did you kick the phone down? Is that what happened?
I was turning around and my foot caught the cord.
Oh, okay, so yeah, the telephone just went tumbling in. It's kind of funny to see. I mean, it's going to be very interesting down the stretch. What happens? Because I think hopefully our rebound numbers will go up too. Which we've seen, we don't have anyone in the top 10 in the league in rebounding.
Not anymore.
So Robert, I think, could change that equation a lot. Having
who,
a pro,
who do we have while you're in the top 10 of stuff right now?
Yeah.
Who do we have in our team that's in the top 10 of anything? Rebound, shots, dunks.
Yeah. So steals. We do not have anyone in average offensive rebounds. Which remember, there was that one game where I think we got 24-6 or 2 or something like that, yeah, with offensive boards, mm-hmm, put back points and stuff. Vancouver, though, Bowman is 10th on that list, so definitely someone to box out.
Yeah.
Defensive rebounds, we do not have anyone. Assists, nope, we don't have anyone. Average blocks, Roman was 3rd.
Okay.
And then we have average steals, nobody. Average personal fouls, that's what's up. Nashawn is he's tied for 3rd in the league, 4 fouls per game.
Way to get him, Nashawn. Show him who's boss.
Hey, sometimes fouling is crucial. I mean,
if it works, it works.
He's not fouling out, he's only getting 4. So,
hey,
so
hey,
we'll take it. No one in 3-point percentage. No one in
who's in the 3-point? I'm curious to know.
No one in Vancouver has less 2-point percentage. Vancouver has 2 players in 2-point shooting percentage. There's no one in Salem. Whitfield is 2nd.
Salem. Mm.
So that's pretty much it. And then field goal percentage overall, Vancouver, Bowman's just tearing it up out there. He's hitting so much. So that's going to be interesting. And then, interestingly, free throw percentage is led by Mike Bibby Jr.
Mike Bibby Jr. That's funny because one of my favorite players was Mike Bibby when he played for the Knights.
And JD Tisdale is 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th in total number of free throw percentage. So that's who we want at the line when it comes down to it most of the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was an interesting weekend that we're seeing a really exciting race shape up here in the Northwest Conference that, you know, I think we knew a few weeks ago that it was going to be Vancouver and Seattle running away with the 1 and 2 seed. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, we'll double check on the standings. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I guess technically if we lost our final 4 games, we could drop to 3rd.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that we have 1 or 2 locked in, if not mathematically, just based on some, you know, playing, getting to play Emerald City Jaguars one time.
Right.
But it's going to be really interesting on whether it's Great Falls or Salem. So it's Vancouver or Seattle for the one seed for all intents and purposes. And then it's, and two, and then Great Falls or Salem for that third spot.
Right.
Wenatchee has a very outside shot, but they would have to, they have two games. I know they have two games at Great Falls and then they play us and I'm not sure who their other game is against. I'd have to pull it up, but, in theory, they could, if Great Falls and Salem dropped a bunch of games, they could pop up there, but they would need so much help.
I guess the good thing is, even if the worst scenario happens, we're in, like, third place, right? I mean, we're not completely...
Most likely. I mean, if they both win out, then we'd be in trouble.
Right.
If Salem... If we lose,
I guess
four
that's
games,
the worst case scenario.
Yeah, we could be out the playoffs. Yeah. So we're not guaranteed. We have not clinched a playoff spot yet,
but we're very close.
I think the Vancouver is very close as well. I think they would have to, if they win two of the remaining four games, I think they clinch.
And don't they have one more against Jags?
Yeah, Curtis. Two. They got two against the Jags. He mentioned it there in the chat, and then right. Salem, and then end the season with us. So. Talk about scheduling. It's for the final game of the season.
Final game.
It could come down depending if both teams
so
play.
Salem and yeah, the very last.
If both teams play up to where we think they should play, it's all going to come down to that game. And and it's not just a Seattle win gets us that one seed in that instance. We have to win by right. nine because of tiebreakers. Right. So if we win the game by seven,
it's still trouble.
Yeah, we're the two seed, even though we beat them in the final game.
Yeah.
So now the big question will be, I don't know what the fourth tiebreaker is because we're like, it's not going to get that far. So what if we win by eight? Then that tiebreaker is another tie. And then I don't know what, it may go to total points.
Yeah.
We'll have to hit up Dave Magley and find out what that is. Because that was outside. I don't think it's ever gone that far.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even mention it when JR hit him up earlier to find out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's honestly the tension is high.
Yeah. And then the thing is, whomever makes it out, Vancouver against one of the other three teams for the Pacific Northwest champion has to play the Pacific Southwest. Now, Curtis from Vancouver said that we shouldn't worry about them, but the LA Ignite are 16-1.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's still a lot of people you haven't played against. It doesn't matter.
Poor Bakersfield is 0-16.
Oh, man.
But, the LA Ignite have been just tearing it up down there with only their one loss. And they've got Gary Chavichian, who's back in town, former Seattle Superhawk, who's now played in two games and is leading, or he has 17.5 points a game. Is that leading? No, someone else has 17.9. But, 17.5 points a game, 2.5 assists. 1.5 rebounds and half a steal. So, it's good to see Gary back in the game. He's been, mm-hmm. been over in Lebanon playing, since, last summer. Since about this time last year, I think, maybe a little bit later in the year. So, it's good to have him back stateside. It's too bad he's not playing for us, but
I know,
or Vancouver. I will say right. I have a Chavichi in Vancouver jersey.
Really?
Oh yeah. I got a Superhawks Fenstoon jersey and a Chavichi in Vancouver. The one that says, the Couve, the black one with the city on it.
Sick.
Yeah. I got to represent my dude, Gary.
Yeah. That's dope. Okay. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. So it's
a jerseys. You got your jersey coming in, right? The Superhawks one. You already got it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got to get mine.
I should wear it out on the, like, if I play like I did losing to that, to those little seventh and eighth graders.
That's when you don't wear it. You wear a team you don't like.
No, I'm going to wear it on the court during warmups. So they think we're terrible. They'll be like, who's this new guy they signed? I'm like, oh, I'm the star point guard.
In reality, I'm like, yeah, I'm the, don't worry, I'm the third backup towel boy. I'll be there in case you guys need anything.
Yeah.
That honestly, I would rock it on the side, but I know for sure the owners would get mad and so would the refs.
Yeah.
Hop out there really quick.
You know who else is on that team? Who I actually didn't realize was down there because he had been, there was talk of what teams he would go to is Quincy Urbina. Who was on our who was one of our starters before the season last year and ended up getting cut from the team over a we'll say, a little kerfuffle with our owner.
Kerfuffle.
So, yeah, that's a team that if we end up getting to play them in the playoffs, it could be interesting because those are some former big-time Seattle players.
I feel good that they're playing, but it's also good we know their weakness. So, it's like keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. They're not our enemies by any means.
Push Gary to the left. No. Yeah.
Shoot the J. Shoot it.
I don't think we have anyone left. Meech might know.
Meech.
Yeah.
Meech, and then... Oh, I guess, well, Nas came in later.
Yeah, but Nas was in
later.
But he was in preseason too.
He was.
Yeah, so he didn't play any games for us, but he was there in preseason. So like he knew Brock even though he never played with him.
Right. Okay.
So he was around for all those. Well,
then we got a couple heads that kind of know.
Yeah.
The familiar.
But we're a long way from there because we have to win. Right. And
we will win.
As a Superhawks, if you're a Superhawks fan, definitely try and come out this
Thursday.
There might be a special guest. Nothing we can announce yet. But of course, Saturday is Nate McMillan night.
Yep.
And you'll be able to get his autograph. It'll be super fun.
And FYI, I've been able to get autographs all game without abusing the power of being a Superhawks staff. I got to talk to them. All of them, they're super cool, very, very happy to be there.
Yeah,
and happy to talk to the people. You know, I said to Gary Payton and even Xavier McDaniel, I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to take up your time. I know you got people out here, blah blah blah. I just want to say hi. I was like, man, not a problem at all. It feels good just to talk to another person. I was like, that's awesome. That's the type of response you want. That being said, I let them do their thing. I wasn't swarming them, but
you know, there's a guest I really want. And
Michael Jordan.
Oh yeah. I mean, I called him the other day and he said, "Oh, for you, I'll make that happen. Yeah,
why don't you just come over to the crib?"
But I told him he had to admit that Gary Payton was better.
Oh man.
And that he was nothing without Scottie Pippen.
Oh, shots fired, Jordan. Shots fired, and the shots coming from the not even the free throw, it's coming from the half court line.
We know,
a good shooter though.
We know how I do with that. So, you're blowing up.
I'm blowing up.
But I'll say it on the show because I, a little insight for those of you watching. But I really want to get the Mariner Moose to come.
The Mariner Moose, you talked about that.
Yeah.
If we did have the Mariner Moose come and we had the our Superhawk come.
Yeah. They're going to hang out together.
They're going to hang out together. Then I think, you know, the Kraken's going to get a little jealous.
Mm.
I don't know.
Get the troll to come over.
The troll, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder where Squatch is. Can we get Squatch out of retirement?
Squatch is on the run again. It's like the Bigfoot versus Manhunt. I saw a pretty good t-shirt. It's like Game of Hide and Seek, and it says Bigfoot, like 10 million wins, and it says Man, zero. Yeah,
that's actually. I mean, I know Bigfoot and Yeti aren't exactly the same, but they're kind of
snowman.
Yeah, Yeti, they're all kind of similar. Sasquatch. That's one of the names they're throwing out for a potential name for the new Utah hockey team. Was the Utah Yeti?
Well, if they're throwing it out there, it means they haven't picked it yet.
Oh no, there's 20. There's 20 names they've thrown out. Some are good, some are bad.
It's probably a mix between. I'm guessing the actual, not the owners, but the team behind it, as well as the. Fans maybe out in that area.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm sure. I'm not sure how they made the list, but it's like mountain related stuff, bee related stuff.
You know what though? We still don't have an official name
for
ours.
For our mascot. That's right.
For our mascot. We're gonna need like some. I mean, anyone listening right now,
if you have suggestions, you can throw them at us.
Yeah, throw them at us. That'd be good. I mean, for those of you, there's a lot that know. Our mascot is a giant green hawk.
He's a super hawk.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you got any cool names you think that would be good, send them in the comments.
I mean, the Mariner Moose was named in Sports Illustrated for Kids. It was a contest in there.
Yeah.
That's what won. Harry the Husky was named in the movie The Sixth Man, where a ghost helped the University of Washington make it to the national championship game in the NCAA tournament. Huh. He had no name before that.
His name was starring
who was in that movie? Kadeem Hardison and Marlon Wayans.
Oh, Marlon Wayans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when Donald Watts, our former player development guy, he was playing at UW at the time and he was like,
man,
they kept trying to steal all our girls.
Some movies from back then too are actually absolutely hilarious.
If you haven't seen, I think the whole thing is available. It's now streaming, but it wasn't for a long time. But someone put it up on YouTube in 5 parts.
Okay.
If you're a Husky fan, it's a must watch because come on, it's the. I mean, I think we've made it to the Elite Eight during our lifetime, but it's seeing the Huskies make it. I was literally in the theater, like so happy.
Yeah.
And just like crying. It was so wonderful.
Man, that would be a great feeling to have again.
It was like the movie Major League, where the Indians were really bad and then come together and win. It's the same thing, but it was a college basketball team helped by a ghost.
Yeah. And then Disney probably made a bunch off of that, like Angels in the Outfield.
Angels
in the End Zone.
Thankfully, it wasn't a Disney movie. But course, UW campus is so beautiful with all the rose flowers.
This is very beautiful.
Yep. Absolutely. So shout out to everyone who's watching on IG Live. You can throw questions in the chat there. It's at S Superhawks. And if you're listening over the KXSU LB Seattle 102.1 FM airwaves or around the world at KXSU.org, we salute you. If you're listening after the fact, be sure to check out all our other episodes, which you can get wherever you find podcasts. But also, you could just go to superhawkspodcast.com and rate us 5 stars everywhere because
everything's there.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to give us 5 stars. It makes us feel important and happy with ourselves, and we become self-actualized boys.
Exactly. And we're doing it for you guys, you know? We like to make sure you guys like it. So.
Yeah.
And it's Seattle. I mean, you need to know about the teams that are going on. Everything in the background. I mean, gosh, there's always so much stuff going on. But a basketball team, that's something you should know about.
Yeah.
Especially in Seattle.
And the thing is, everyone who I talk to about it, even if they haven't been to a game, is like, oh yeah, I've heard of you all. So word's getting around. Come out and see us because with 4 games left at home in the regular season, or 3 games at home in the regular season, 4 total, these are huge must-win games.
And we're going to possibly have a few huge guests. I know we already said one, but there's also a bunch of other guests that we were just talking about earlier. If you're just tuning in, Xavier McDaniel was there, X-Man, and then we also had the glove himself, Gary Payton.
Yep.
So big, huge NBA legends, all legends that played for the Seattle Supersonics when they were here.
Nate McMillan, the man, if he wasn't hurt, would have won the Sonics the championship against the Bulls.
Yeah. And that is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, the
former coach of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And the Seattle Supersonics. And the Indiana Pacers.
He played for the Sonics and then coached for them.
Yep.
And that is beyond balling. That would be like, you know, if RIP to Kobe, but if Kobe like quit basketball and started coaching for the team after that, not gonna lie, that'd be so dope. That'd be insane.
My guess is his drive was too much to be able to. Sometimes the most elite athletes can't handle
coaching the team.
Coaching it because they don't have time to develop players or people that won't put in. Like Kobe was a different breed, right?
Well, Michael Jordan wasn't coaching a team either. I think he owns teams now.
Yeah. That's probably, they've not done good while he was owning
the
Washington Wizards.
Oh, yeah. Favorite team?
So, yeah. I kind of want to. That's the Jordan jersey I would wear.
The Wizards?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you asked him to sign it, he'd probably burn it. Yeah, or get him to sign that MLB jersey. Who'd he play for?
I think he was on the White Sox minor league team.
Yeah.
Birmingham Barons, maybe? Someone like that.
Something like that. Oh, my God.
What has been your favorite? And it's a lot of games, right? Sometimes people ask me about specific games, and they don't stand out because I've been to, I don't know how many, we've hit 40 plus 50 total games or something like that. What has been the Superhawks game that stood out to you the most over the couple of years here?
Well, I want to think of one I haven't already said before.
Yeah.
I'll mention one I already said before, just as an honorable mention. That's when Brock twisted his leg.
Oof.
Not only have I never seen something so painful like that before, but also that game was just, it was insane. We were catching up and, you know, it was a great comeback story, all that. That's just the honorable mention. I'll say it's two. When we won the West Coast Championship, that was a huge game. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Everyone was going off. It was also kind of close. But regardless, just getting that title while playing for the first time ever in the league. Yeah. I think that was pretty huge.
I had no doubt. I knew we were going to win every game. It was there's something about that team.
Yeah. It was after that though when stuff got crazy.
Yeah.
But for this year, so that was mine last year, I would say. This year, I know we went off and had a great game, and it was the Gary Payton versus the Jags. Like, that was a big game. Everyone's doing crazy dunks and stuff. I liked it because we were, like I said, doing crazy dunks, getting crazy shots. Of course, Gary Payton's there to hype it up. But in terms of, like, a neck-to-neck game, I'm going to say the last one that we had, we lost by 1 point. Oh, and I've never seen you so emotional at a game.
That was tough.
I was feeling it too.
I was having a bad week too.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, me too. I mean, you walk in different shoes, so I'm not saying I understand it, but I know what it's like to have a long week and then go into something like that. I would say because I really had to practice closing my mouth the whole time when I was recording for that game.
I wish I had done the same.
Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, people love that one. Huh? yeah, but it was neck and neck. And it was just the big question that everyone was asking too. It's like, are we going to be able to keep it up after going after, Emerald City? And even the game, we had a game before a game after Emerald City before we played them, and people were tripping about that game, thinking we were going to lose, but we won by 16.
Wenatchee,
that's right. Wenatchee, the away game, and then we had them. So I was like, oh, yep, here we go. We already getting the momentum. So it really had me at the edge of my seat the whole way through and very emotional. And I think that's how any super fan should feel, and I was doing my job, but also...
No, there's something to be said to be able to be a fan of the team you work for. I mean, I don't think that's always the case. Some people are disconnected.
Exactly.
Yeah. So. I mean, yeah, I think that the Gary Payton night in Tacoma, the 70-plus point win is pretty iconic. That might be the most iconic game of Supercross history. Yeah. There was a game last year that we lost at Salem, and I do not recall if it was the final regular season game or the first playoff game, because we played them 4 games in a row, and so we played down there twice, then came home, then went back down there. We actually flipped them. That's right. We went down there, played down there again, and then had 2 home games, because we were the higher seed.
Yep.
One of those 2 games where Davon hit that 3 at the buzzer, we were dead. And then I think Meech had a steal. We put up a 2. We got the ball back suddenly. And Davon hit a 3 as the clock ended and ran straight up to this dude who had been trash talking us all night.
Yeah.
And this guy didn't, he was going in on us losing the Supersonics. He was going in on us losing the Seattle Pilots. He was
trying to hit every button he could.
He was, I have it on. I have it on the GoPro. I can't wait to watch. And we did ultimately end up losing that game,
right?
Because we got too tired in the end. We
burned ourselves out.
Yeah, and we were lucky to be there. I think that went to triple overtime, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it was just such a great game. In fact, I remember I was trying to find that highlight for Davon, and their cameras didn't get it. They were too busy talking to their TV host.
Way.
And then they're like, oh, they just tied the game. It was so that they weren't even showing. It was just them showing the guys. It was a man and woman commentating. It didn't show the play. So we never saw it. So I have it on my GoPro somewhere. I need to go find that because it was such an epic moment.
That's
Superhawks
usually
history.
How it is. You know, if you don't have it, or if they don't have it, someone does. Someone
yeah, it was, it's just, it's one of those few that just burned in my mind, as with the Brock injury, because that was just so awful.
Yeah.
But
shout out to you again, Brock.
But just, just a rough go. But you missed out. Brock actually came out to the after party. I brought him out, and he hung out with us.
Oh, man.
At the after party. And so Brock came out and ate with us. And, there's not a lot of players there that still know him. So I introduced him around. But Pierre was so happy to see him. Jackie was happy to see him. And our team owners. And we hung out for a bit, and then you know, I think it's got to be weird to come in on another team, especially when he wanted to come back, but we just didn't have a roster spot for him.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's the tough part, because we were talking about getting him back. Even the owner was saying last year that he's going to come back.
Yeah, and I think he would be interested in coming back. You know, coming back from injury of any kind is hard, but just the, you know, he's now 5 games back mm-hmm. with 4 to go, so he'll only get 9 in this year, I think.
Yeah.
And he said there's just so much pain involved. Like, when you're playing and the adrenaline's in you, it's fine, but as soon as you sit down on that bench, it's just so painful.
Different story. Those watching, you probably saw me move around multiple times. That's because I got pain in my lower back. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
And I didn't stretch, and I'm feeling pain just from skateboarding. These guys are running their butt off on the court every day.
You think your wife's going to let you skateboard with a baby on the way? I think you might need to put that thing up.
You know what they say, happy husband, happy wife.
That's not what they say at all.
Pretty sure.
It's happy, it happy wife, happy life.
I agree to disagree. Leave you guys let me know in the comments.
And in fact, UW put out a study that said the happiest way to a marriage is to say yes, dear.
Yes. Now, that's for the wife to say to the husband, or the husband to say, maybe goes
husband
both
to husband
ways.
Or wife to wife. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter. Well, there needs to be one person that says yes, whatever you want, and the other person disagrees to it. Doesn't matter their gender identity.
Some yin and yang. Yin and yang. But just going back on that, I am not surprised. And before actually we even get further, we were talking about our favorite teams. So our favorite games
in Superhawks history.
And also least favorite, just for fun. If you have one, feel free to add that in the comments. I was curious to know.
I mean, my least favorite, although I think in the Superhawks redemption story, it will end up being a really great one, is the loss at Pottawatomie. Where we were up 19 with 5 minutes left and lost by 8.
That was disgusting.
27 point. Well, but we only had 4.5 players on the court. JD had broken his hand. We had no subs. Two players fouled out and our other players were hurt. We had figured them out and we're going to go on and win the championship. We had figured it out and just didn't have the bodies to be able to do it. No,
everyone was so injured or too rough to the point of fouling out.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, that's what really dragged us down last year was injuries.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous.
And that Salem game is actually the one that I was talking about, is the one where Michael Carter got hurt. He got thrown down on his elbow, and he didn't play again.
Yeah.
So he tried to play. He went out there and tried to play in that game and just couldn't do it and just never.
And you don't want to mess with your elbow. I mean, especially if you're a shooter like him.
He played again, just not that season, I should say. He was injured for the rest of the season.
One of our games, actually, he came by.
Yep.
One of our home games. It was great to see him.
Yep, he's been out there playing, so it's good to see.
Yeah, the ex-Superhawk out there.
Yeah, so we've got, we've hit our quota for the show.
Yeah.
So we get, but is there anything else you want to bring up before we get out of here?
Man, I guess the question is, what can I bring up that we can talk about? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess if I could talk about anything for the Superhawks, I would want to know how they want to blend in with our new guy into these next games and how they can keep him open. Just be scoring down, because in our last game,
our last home game, you should say.
Last home game, we had a hard time. That was his first game.
He'd had one practice with us at that point.
And one practice. So, I want to know if they've been really looking at amplifying his specialties.
At Emerald City, he had 17 points, 5 for 6 overall in field goals, 1 for 2 from the 3-point line. So he missed 1 3-pointer and 1 2-pointer. 2 assists, 5 boards, 4 of which were defensive, and that's it. So for a second game, that's pretty solid.
Pretty good.
And then at Salem, where we won 127-109, so 18-point win.
Right.
Robert Upshaw had 27 points, 12 of 18 from the field. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block.
Okay.
So he's been and he played 35 minutes in that second game. So he's been, and he played over 30 in the first. So he's been integrated fully into the team at this point. Interestingly, in that game also, Nashawn had 23 points.
Oh, wow. Hey.
So he threw up 23 points, 5 assists, 13 rebounds, 1 steal and 1 block.
Okay.
So so what's been interesting is where one player went one way and felt threatened by having a pro come in, a new center, Nashawn has taken it in full stride and used it as an opportunity to go, okay, when he's not playing, I'm going to play and I'm going to put up numbers.
Yeah.
And so he's only been getting better down the stretch.
Nashawn's been getting better. We were saying at the beginning of the year, he was kind of coming in a little rustic. But he was able to pick it up, and he's been going off more and more each game.
And Elijah had 19 points, including 4 three-pointers in that game. So we had some numbers being put up by guys. I mean, Elijah, we know he can shoot, but, you know, he's been the assist man for a lot of it. But without Nas, someone else has to step up, and Elijah and Nashawn did that.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing to see because
That's what we need.
That's what we need. And and let's not forget David Jenkins, who's one of the team captains, solid player, 23 points, 4 for 6 from the 3-point line, 1 assist, 3 rebounds. Rebounds. Yeah. 1 steal. 5 TOs. So a solid game from us. Now, of course, they had a player with 31, and then Whitfield put up 24, which has become pretty standard for him. He's good.
Right.
But so I think we've seen now with 3 games under his belt, we've seen Robert Upshaw be fully integrated into the team and really start showing out.
Right.
So that's going to be coming up, especially with that game at Salem. They have, you know, the center of the G League, or like, he came up and stepped up, and it's good to see Robert be able to do that. He had 25 in the first game.
Yeah.
So you're seeing more and more minutes from him. Sorry, the second game he played, but the first game on the weekend away. And in that game, points were all over. It was another game with all but 3 players in double digits, which is what we saw the last time before that we played Emerald City.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So, but it was a little, like we said before, a 40-point win.
Feels nice.
It was a rough game for us where we were not playing up to our standards. Which is weird to say, but if we had been more on, it would have been like kind of pretty crazy.
Yeah. Just reading some comments in
here. Yeah. In. Shout out to Sing.
Sing Kish.
Yeah. Coming at us. So good luck in your game for the U.S. Army.
Oh yeah, good luck. What about you though? What do you have any other topics? I know we kind of combed.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last one I'd hit on is I just want to shout out Nick Beckman, our play-by-play announcer.
Mm.
He is the best play-by-play announcer in the TBL. I have no doubt about that because I listen, you know, I watch a lot of the games, and I just feel really lucky that we have him because you know, sometimes it can be hard to find a good one. And last year it was real hit or miss, and I love Proof, but some people did not like his style. Having Nick there, who's a true professional, you know, at the end of last game, I didn't realize that his broadcast wasn't over and I cut him off, and I feel really bad for that.
Oh no.
But I our cameraman had come down, so I thought we were done. I didn't realize So, it's my fault. I felt really bad, but I just feel so lucky that we have him because he's just been so phenomenal. And it makes cutting highlights fun because instead of just showing the highlight, he'll say the player's name and say what it just hypes the
you
player
hear
up
his,
so much more.
His rich, buttery voice.
Yeah.
When he says it, he's a good guy. Yeah. And he's very passionate about Super Ox too.
Yep.
So
And he's always saying, oh, I'm a better PA guy, which may be true, but you know what? You're the face of the Superhawks, Nick. You're the face to the outside world watching our games.
Yeah,
they only hear you in the background as a PA announcer. They're hearing you on the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to point out, he had some pretty cool shoes. He got signed by Gary Payton at our thing. Game worn shoes from, I think it was, in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's what he said.
I think he said he got it from the playoffs, yeah.
And he has his pair of glove shoes that he's been wearing for 20 years.
Yeah, he's got that. And a few other people came out with their glove shoes. I saw people come up with their jerseys and stuff as well. Got a good variety of stuff signed. Now I got to get the other shirt I had, that basic Sonics one that I caught at the game from Xavier McDaniel. I got to get Gary Payton's signature on. I'm like, hey, I know you signed my jersey, but we got time.
And I know people have been asking, because last game I got asked 4 or 5 different times, but no, you cannot have my Bruce Lee Kobe's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Yep. I got asked about my Adidas jacket. The yellow striped Adidas jacket. It's from like a marathon or something that took place in like 75 or
something.
Wow,
that's
like
nice.
That. Yeah, I found it at a, not even like an antique shop. I was at a spot in Madrid with my brother. He lives out in Madrid, and he's like, hey, come out. They have a whole bunch of American stuff here, authentic, nice. But people don't know the price. I'm like, for Adidas? I'm surprised, but I'll take it. And yeah, it was pretty sick.
So one more random fact for you.
Yes.
Completely random, but I found this absolutely interesting. So I was at Ross Dress for Less today. You know Ross?
My dad owns it. That's the question, yeah.
Really?
No, not at all.
I would want that discount. I used to buy all my clothes at Ross, but they've really downsized their men's department.
Right.
So now I still get all of my like swimsuits, underwear, socks, and jeans there. But
yeah.
And occasionally sports stuff.
Right.
Like today I got a pair of Seattle Storm shorts.
Oh, lit.
Like to play in. Okay. So I'm excited about that. But there was a Nirvana shirt hanging out there from the 1993 In Utero tour. And it wasn't my size, but I looked at the back because I wanted to see if it had the dates, and it did. And they played on that tour in Salem at the Armory, where we play when we're down in Salem. So that same stadium where Salem plays, Nirvana played there. And that was already like post Teen Spirit Nirvana. They were one of the biggest bands in the world, and they played in that...
That tiny
little stadium.
That is
so
insane.
On that stage where like the DJ is in the VIP area, Nirvana once stood there and performed.
You better stand up there and get a picture of yourself just like basking in that.
I'm gonna have to ask Jason Conrad, the team owner, next time I'm down there, if they know that. If there's any Salem folks listening, that's so cool.
You can be where Nirvana was.
Yeah.
I wonder if they It'd be really cool if you can find a picture of her in there from that concert.
Yeah.
And then you could like reenact it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do the pose and stuff.
Go
That's
do
sick.
That.
That's sick.
So where can they find you on the internets, Anthony?
They can find me on IG at Zorgo, Z-O-R-G-O 45.
And I am anywhere there are social medias, although I don't really put anything on TikTok. I put one video and it got banned, and so I was like, screw this. It was so popular too, I was upset. At Legal Minded Punk, all one word.
At Legal Minded Punk.
Thank you, everybody. We will be back next Monday night. We might, I don't, we'll, it depends what place we get. We might have it. No, I think the game would be Tuesday if we play following Vancouver. So
right.
Tuesday or Wednesday. So we definitely will be back. So if you want to listen live on the radio here on KXSU, up Seattle 102.1 FM and around the world at KXSU.org. We'll be back 6 to 8 p.m. Seattle time Monday night. We will probably record Coach's show this week at some point if we have the opportunity. Those will all be up anywhere you can find Seattle Superhawks Weekly or at superhawkspodcast.com.
And if you guys have any questions from this podcast or for the next, feel free to add it to the comments, shoot us messages on IG, and we'll be sure to address them.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
thank all right. you guys. See everybody next time.
Peace out.
Seattle Superhawks Weekly is a production of Grendel Industries. This episode was edited and produced by Cameron Collins and Anthony Hopkins. To learn more about this podcast, visit superhawkspodcast.com. To learn more about the basketball team, visit seattlesuperhawks.com. See you all on the hardwood.